Welcome to this AAT podcast. Today, I would like to address what is seemingly a very simple topic, and certainly one which is fundamental to the operation of the tax, but which can be harder to get right than many others. What I'm referring to is the very simple question of deciding what rate to charge on your sales of goods and services. Section 4 of the VAT Act establishes the concept that everything within the scope of the tax is subject to the VAT standard rate unless they are specifically relieved. The relieving provisions are encapsulated in the various schedules at the back of the Act, and they are the zero rating, the reduced rating, and the exemption. So when we decide whether we have to charge VAT or not, the first thing to do is to identify exactly what it is you're supplying, and from there, to look through all of the lists of the reliefs to decide whether it fits in with one of those. This sounds as if it ought to be simple, but it can be fraught with difficulty. There are some reliefs that are very complicated to understand. Take food for an example. The zero rating for food starts off in a relatively straightforward way. The zero rating applies to the supply of anything comprised in the general items set out below, except, that word except will crop up quite a lot, except A, a supply in the course of catering, and B, a supply of anything comprised in any of the accepted items set out below, unless it is also comprised in any of the items overriding the exceptions set out below, which relate to that accepted item. Which really is quite confusing. We've got two exclusions immediately. First point said everything zero rated, and then immediately it's told us that various things aren't. The first one is a supply in the course of catering. So any meals, the provision of meals in hotels, restaurants, cafes, pubs, etc., will be standard rated. And then we've got this cryptic, rather complicated wording. A supply of anything comprised in any of the accepted items set out below, unless it is also comprised in any of the items overriding the accepted items set out below, which relates to that accepted item. What does this actually mean? We have the general items, which set out exactly what is zero rated. So, for example, item number one says food of a kind used for human consumption is zero rated. The legislation also has some notes, and one of the notes states that food includes drink. So if we take coffee as an example, we know that coffee is zero rated, because it is included within this definition of food. However, we then have the accepted items. We've established that everything's zero rated, including coffee, but if we read down the exceptions, we find that at number four, we have other beverages, including fruit, waters, syrups, concentrates, essences, etc. So what this tells us is that coffee has been taken out of the zero rating and therefore drops back to being standard rated. What we then have are the items overriding the exceptions. And if we read down there, we will get to item number five. And what that tells us is that cocoa, coffee and chicory and other roasted coffee substitutes and preparations and extracts thereof are brought back into the zero rating. It's a very complicated process. What we've got to be clear about is that you have to read all the way through the legislation in order to get to that point. You could read simply the first line and say that food of a kind used for human consumption is zero rated and stop there. And of course you'd be wrong to do so, because some things are taken out. So you could simply read as far as the accepted items and therefore assume it was standard rated. Only if you read all the way through the legislation do you find that it comes full circle and comes back into being zero rated. It's clear, therefore, that reading all of the legislation and getting it right is very important. Many businesses feel that there is a temptation to charge VAT just in case, so that they can't come unstuck at a later date. After all, if you've charged VAT, HMRC can't come and ask you for any more. Therefore, you have protected yourself. This is quite a dangerous practice for a couple of reasons. The first is that you are charging VAT incorrectly and therefore clearly you are breaking the law. The second and more practical point is that business customers may attempt to recover the VAT that you've charged them on their own VAT returns. The recovery of VAT is a right which all VAT registered businesses have, subject to certain conditions. One of those conditions, which is sadly very often overlooked, is that you can only recover VAT where it has been correctly charged to you in the first place. Therefore, if a supplier takes the view that they will charge VAT willy-nilly, just to be on the safe side, if they've done it incorrectly, strictly speaking, the customer cannot recover the VAT. What you're doing, therefore, is creating a cost, or at least an administrative problem, for your customers. When HMRC come to visit them, they will disallow the tax, and your customer will come back to you seeking a refund. This, in turn, gives you additional administrative problems. We have a further issue where we're dealing with customers who can't recover VAT, perhaps because they're partly or wholly exempt, but of course the main category of people in this situation will be the general public. If you charge VAT there incorrectly, you are creating an absolute cost. Interestingly, in this situation, the absolute cost tends to rest with the supplier. As a general rule, retail prices are set at the maximum that the market will bear. It's very rare that you find a retailer saying, "I'd like to charge £100 for a particular product, but I know I've got to account for VAT, and therefore I'll charge £117.50. The general rule is they say to themselves, "I have this product, what will people pay for it?" Whatever the person will pay is the price at which it is sold. If there is any VAT to account for, it is usually the retailer who bears that cost coming out of their income. As a result of this, if a product is rightly zero rated and the supplier accounts for VAT just to be safe, they are in fact reducing their profitability quite considerably. I came across exactly this situation recently. A French organisation, which sells foodstuffs within France, was starting to trade in the UK as well. In France, some of their products are subject to French VAT at the normal rate. The French VAT rules are similar to, but not identical to, the UK ones. As it turned out, in the UK, their particular products, in this case macaroons, would be eligible for zero rating. The French organisation had naively assumed that because their products were subject to VAT in France, so too would it be subject to VAT in the UK. When I became involved with them, they'd been trading in the UK for about 6 months. They had been accounting for VAT on their sales of macaroons all of this time, and in fact had paid to HMRC in the region of £7,000 of VAT. They asked me to sort it out. We managed to do that, and HMRC did eventually repay the money. However, it did take the full 6 months to do that, and the reason for that was that HMRC alleged that the company would in fact be unjustly enriched if the VAT was refunded. HMRC argued that the company had not suffered as a result of this practice. HMRC felt that they had charged VAT to the customer who had paid it, and that their company had simply passed this money on to them. Of course, they had not done this. All they had done was to set their prices in accordance with market forces. The difference in that particular case was quite significant. They were selling their boxes of macaroons at £4 per box. Accounting for VAT meant that for every box sold, 60 pence was given to the government in VAT. If they'd zero-rated the product correctly, right from the beginning, they could have kept the whole £4, significantly boosting profits. Of course, the difference will increase next year when the VAT rate increases to 20%. So accounting for VAT when you don't need to isn't very sensible and can be very costly. Some people attempted to go the other way and apply a zero rating even when it's not due. This, of course, is not particularly sensible either, and I would suggest that no businessman would go down this route voluntarily. If you do not charge VAT where it is due, you are, of course, leaving yourself very much exposed. If HMRC find the practice is going on, they will, of course, assess and require the tax to be paid to them. The chances are that we are dealing in a situation where the customers are the general public and cannot be individually identified, so we can't go back to them and ask for additional funds to pay for the tax. Getting the VAT right, therefore, is very, very important. It covers a very, very wide range of areas. It's of great importance, of course, to those people who manufacture or create or grow their own products, as they have to make the decision as to whether VAT is due right from scratch. Similar issues do arise for those who buy and sell products, but in some ways it is easier for them. For example, if you buy a television set from somebody else, they will charge you VAT. When you sell it on, that's a very big clue to you that VAT is due. Where we have these areas where there's some elements of doubt, in foodstuffs, children's clothing, other areas of that nature, we do still have to be careful. What, for example, would be the situation if you bought something from someone who chose not to charge you VAT, but zero-rated it, and they were wrong? If, when you sold the products on, you also zero-rated, simply because you followed their example, you would be wrong as well. If HMRC visited either of you, clearly they would then assess both to get the tax correctly charged. There is always a risk in some of these areas that your supplier gets it wrong as well, so it's not sensible to simply follow their guidance and their treatment automatically. There are various areas where this is more prevalent than in others, one of which, of course, is mixed supplies. I'm thinking here of things like magazines, which sometimes come with a free gift on the cover, or perhaps foodstuffs in fancy containers. An example of this I came across last year. A seller of biscuits, which would in themselves be zero-rated, chose to encapsulate them not in a packet or a box, but in a mug. The idea was that you took the biscuits out of the mug, and you sat down, made yourself a nice cup of tea or coffee, and ate the biscuits with them. The original supplier chose to treat this as zero-rated biscuits, and ignored the fact that the mug, if sold in its own right, would be subject to VAT at the standard rate. It's a very difficult question sometimes to decide how many supplies you've got. Are you really just buying biscuits, and the mug is incidental to this, it's just a different method of packaging? Or are you really supplying a mug, which would be standard rated, and the biscuits are incidental, in which case the whole thing is standard rated? Or should you split it and account for some VAT, but not on the full value? There are in fact some special rules for cover-mounted products on magazines and that sort of thing, and also for apportioning in mixed supplies. In this case, my clients had purchased the mugs and paid no VAT, as that is the decision that the original supplier had come to. The correct treatment would have been to apportion this particular supply and account for a little bit of VAT on the mug, but not on the biscuits. When HMRC came to visit, naturally, they wanted their slice of the VAT element. The good news was that this process had to go back to the original supplier as well, and therefore my client did get a further invoice for some additional VAT. This VAT represented input tax and could be offset against their liability. Nevertheless, there was still an assessment to be paid, and that came with interest and penalties. Further issues arise where we buy goods which change VAT liability as they pass through our business. In simple terms, if goods change the nature of their physical characteristics as they pass through your business, you should be considering this in great detail. For example, we're all familiar with the concept that you can buy food from your various suppliers and you will not pay any VAT because it's zero rated. However, as we've already seen, one of the exclusions to the zero rating is catering. So if you buy zero-rated food and then you create meals for diners in your restaurant, your income will be subject to VAT at the standard rate. Conversely, you might buy standard-rated fabric and convert it into zero-rated children's clothes. So it's not possible simply to take the liability of the supply to you and assume automatically that it applies to the supply you in turn make. So what is our solution? What we need to do is to read through all of the legislation on the particular relief that we think might apply and make sure that our supply falls within it. It is a general principle of VAT that all of the relieving provisions have to be read narrowly. Again, as we've already seen, the basic principle of the tax is that everything is standard rated. The exclusions are seen as exceptions to this and therefore are special treatments. If you wish your supply to be subject to one of these special reliefs, you have to do a lot of work to make sure that you qualify. One thing that could be seen as a little misleading in what I've said so far is where I've talked primarily about goods. Don't forget that there are lots of services too which are subject to the relieving provisions. The same concept applies here as it does to the examples we've already looked at. One area in particular that I would stress is where we are acting in the construction industry. There are some very complicated rules which deal with the zero rating for the construction of new dwellings, charitable and residential buildings. Similarly, there's quite a bit of complexity involved with building work in relation to residential buildings which are being refurbished or renovated. One of the problem areas here, apart from the complexity of the legislation, is the fact that we tend to be dealing with relatively large numbers. We're not talking about low-value individual pieces of kit or goods. We are talking about potentially very large contract values. Getting it right is very important for all of these things. I think the thing I'd like to stress is something that I came across several times last year. It has also been the subject of several cases recently. What I'm talking about here is the idea of apportionment in services. We mentioned that earlier with the idea of the mug with the biscuits in. The idea that sometimes you will have a mixed supply and have to charge VAT at one rate on part of it, but not on all of it. Both the zero rating and the reduced rating for construction services are examples of this. In both pieces of legislation, there is a clause which states, if part of the works qualify for the relief and part do not, you may make an apportionment. Consider a development of, let's say, a retail unit with a flat above. When we construct the new retail unit, the works will be subject to VAT at the standard rate, as there is no relieving provision for commercial property. The construction of the flat above it will constitute the construction of a new dwelling, and therefore a zero rating will be available. If you have one contractor doing the whole of the works, VAT, in theory, will be due on the retail unit, but not on the flat. But let's go back to that piece of legislation and remind ourselves what it said. It said that if part of the works qualify and part do not, an apportionment may be made. The legislation does not say that an apportionment shall be made, and the difference between that wording means that it is not mandatory. Where we've run into difficulties is where builders have either simply not wanted to do the apportionment or haven't been aware of the fact that they were allowed to and therefore charged VAT on the whole contract value. At first sight, this seems to be a nonsense, but in fact it is absolutely correct. The legislation allows for an apportionment but does not make it a requirement. As such, if the builder does not take advantage of this potential relief, VAT is due on the full contract value. Is this a problem? Well, it can be. The reason for this is that if you have a brand new dwelling constructed and then you sell it as a freehold or long leasehold grant, your income is zero rated. Zero rating is a taxable supply, and therefore any VAT incurred in relation to it is recoverable. So if your builder charges you VAT, you are entitled to recover it. However, if you have constructed for you a residential unit and then you decide to let it out on short-term lets, your income is exempt from VAT. It is a basic, fundamental part of the VAT legislation that you are not entitled to recover VAT as input tax that relates to exempt activity. Therefore, if your builder does not take advantage of the option to apportion and they charge you VAT at the full contract rate, you will be manufacturing a VAT cost. This has caused problems recently where businesses have sought to recover the VAT from the builder on the arguments that it has been overcharged. A couple of tribunal cases have ruled that whilst it is inconvenient and has created a cost for the person, it is in fact perfectly legal and perfectly valid. Therefore, if you wish to avoid a cost of this nature, it is a requirement that you speak to your builder and agree the apportionments, preferably before the works are commenced, and certainly before any invoices are raised or payments are made. Thank you for listening to this AAT podcast.